It's time for Harley's CAT Scan, a weekly podcast featuring the who's who of your Prince George Cougars.
Welcome to CAT Scan, brought to you by Integris. Local speaks louder than words. Josh Dixon is an associate coach with the Prince George Cougars. And Josh, this is the first time for this particular season having you on the CAT Scan podcast. Just sort of bring us up to date as to your off season and all that and how things went as you got ready to prepare for this season.
Well, yeah, appreciate it, Hartley. Appreciate having me on. Great to speak with you. My off season was back in Ontario. My wife and I own a home in Georgetown, Ontario. So we had some renovations and addition put onto our house. We were doing some construction. And then with our two boys now, it was great to spend some time with my littlest one. Just kind of being a dad, and my older son was in junior kindergarten, and then we had hockey schools for most of the summer. So my family were up in northern Ontario, like Muskoka, Huntsville area, doing hockey school. So it was a real good summer and nice chance to be back around home and family and recharge, but also be around the game and just trying to keep getting better as a coach as well through hockey schools and watching video, and had a chance to go to Montreal for the NHL draft and the coaching conference there. It was a real good experience as well.
So this is your second season with the team. How much further ahead are you, and in what areas?
Specifically further ahead in terms of our team?
Your coaching, your familiarity with the team, putting that all together.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's certainly, you know, a big advantage to be able to come into training camp with the returning players, with the prospects, with the players that were here last year, having seen those players a year earlier, having seen those players when we brought a number of players up prospects-wise with us in the playoffs. They came with us down to Portland, so I was on the ice with those players, working out with them. They came back to Prince George as well for games 3 and 4. So that was really nice, and really nice to kind of have a baseline of where players were at and see what they were able to accomplish over the summer. And then, you know, given that I had relationships now with the players on the team, to stay in touch with them over the course of the off season and come into camp where everything is not brand new was really, really nice.
So you added Carter Rigby to the coaching staff. How does that sort of mesh in with you and head coach Mark Lamb and all of that?
Oh, it's a perfect fit. You know, we obviously coached Carter in Swift Current, so both Mark and I had a relationship with him. And we knew his personality. We knew how well he would fit in with not just the coaching staff, but with the entire group. And you know, fit is so important. So it's been outstanding and really, really nice kind of full circle moment as well to have a player that both of us have coached and now be coaching with him. It's a really neat experience.
You've been a head coach and major junior. You've been an associate coach and assistant coach. Obviously, everybody wants to be a head coach. But this situation, Prince George, do you have the kind of authority, autonomy that you would like? Or do you realize that it's really, you know, all Mark's call and you just have to help where you can?
Oh, no, I'm very, very fortunate to be in a great situation here. And, you know, that was a big part of coming back again this season, realizing that this is both an outstanding coaching opportunity, an outstanding opportunity to continue to learn and grow. Working with Mark, and then obviously the team that we have, and then the steps that we're taking as a group forward this year after last season, all make it a great situation to be part of. And I really enjoy coming to the rink every single day. I really enjoy working with Mark. I learn something every day. And so, you know, the goal is always, of course, to be head coach again. That goes without saying. But I feel like I'm in a great position. And like I say, that's was big in terms of wanting to come back and wanting to continue in this role.
How much bigger are your expectations for the team performance-wise for 22-23 compared to last season?
Well, there's no question the expectations go up. I think it's really, you know, going to be a situation where we need to see where we and where the league and our division is at after 10 games. Because in my experience in major junior, every 10 games, the league gets a little bit better. You really then see what NHL players come back, where a team's roster's at, who, you know, has a better team than maybe they thought, or who maybe isn't quite taking the step. Certainly, you know, last season we accomplished our goal. We got to the playoffs. That was tremendous for us. We had a very, very good series against Portland, and I thought we played better than than the record would have showed in terms of, you know, losing in four. But it gives us some motivation to come back and take another step this year. What exactly does that step look like? Well, we continue to monitor and evaluate and see. There's no question the expectations are higher in terms of building off of last season. Last season was just, let's get to the playoffs. But it's certainly something where, you know, we're not going to put the bar so far above our heads that we can't accomplish the goals we set out for either.
But isn't it fair to suggest the bar should be a lot higher than just trying, with about 2 to 3 weeks left in the season, just trying to scrape into the playoffs?
Oh, absolutely. And that's why, you know, that's why I said last year the goal was just to make the playoffs. And so to make the playoffs, whether it was the last day, the second last day of the season, we accomplished that goal. This year, there's no question there's a step that needs to be taken, both in terms of, you know, our points, our wins, our productivity. All of those things need to go up. And absolutely, you want to be not only in a playoff spot, you want to be fighting for a higher playoff spot come the end of the season. So, you know, that goes part and parcel to taking another step this year.
You talked about you need sort of at least the first 10 games to even give any kind of an assessment. Well, as we do this week's podcast, you are at the 8-game mark. You won 3 of your first 5, then you lost a 3 straight. So it is a slower start than what you anticipated.
Well, you know, for sure. I think given the way that we've played, our record could certainly be flipped. And when we break down the games, as we do as coaches in great detail, you know, we've outchanced our opponent in all but two games, and one against Everett and one against Winnipeg. So, you know, we've created enough offense to win more games than we have thus far. We've done some really good things. And you know what? The biggest challenge, I think, has been the consistency of our execution 5-on-5. Without question, the consistency of our effort on the penalty kill as well. And that's an area of our game that we have to get much better at. And, you know, if we clean those two areas up, certainly our record does improve. So when we start to look at, you know, where we're at and where we want it to be at, clearly you want to be above 500. And we look at every 7-game segment and break down, okay, are we winning 4 of those 7 games? Are we getting, you know, 8 or more points? And we didn't do that in our first segment. We were at 6 points. So we're into segment number 2 now. And so we need to be looking to accomplish that goal, this segment of getting those 8 or more points and getting ourselves, you know, some traction in terms of improving in the areas I mentioned.
You talked about the special teams and the Cougars near the bottom in terms of the PK. And after a fairly strong start with the power play, has been sliding towards the bottom as well in terms of that. You watch a lot of film. You study a lot. Why the struggles in those areas, particularly the penalty kill?
Yeah, I'll just speak to the penalty kill because that's the area that I focus on most. You know, there's a couple of really important factors. Number one is our face-off percentage on the penalty kill. We're well below 50%, so we're not winning draws. So we're starting without the puck. And then part and parcel to that is winning the face-off and then getting the clears. And there's been too many opportunities where we could have got pucks out that we don't, and it results in more time in the zone. If you win the face-off and get the puck down the ice, it kills about 25 seconds off the penalty kill. So right there, you've done a favor to yourself. So that's the first area for us. Then it's certainly, you know, around the blue paint, a better job of tying up sticks, of clearing pucks. We've given up 3 goals on the penalty kill that the other team has just tapped the rebound in, where we had players there around the crease and we weren't able to clear the puck out. And then you look at, you know, the 3 goals we've given up on point shots that we don't block, and either they go in or they get tipped in. And those are areas that we need to clean up as well. So to put it all together, winning faceoffs, getting the clears, doing a better job in front of our net, knocking pucks away, and then, you know, increasing our shot blocking, we'll clean up that area of our special teams.
How many units do you look at? Because when you're on the penalty kill, it seems like if you can clear the puck down the ice, after 30 seconds, you get some fresh guys out. When you're working on the penalty kill with this Cougar team, how many guys are really part of the main penalty kill units that you want to see out there?
Well, we go through with everybody. You know, we want to make sure everybody's prepared because you never know who's in the box, and you never know in terms of your rhythm. You know, sometimes where, like I think about Riley Height and Weedy, Wheatcroft, where we want to get them some more minutes, and they're out there in situations, whether it's they haven't played in a while, we have a 5-minute penalty, whatever it might be, we need some offense. So those are some guys that can kill penalties for us in different situations. You know, we typically roll through 3 sets of forwards, 3 pairs, And then we have our four or five defensemen that typically get out there and kill as well. So they would be, our main penalty killers, but we try to make sure that everybody's prepared in the event that somebody is called upon. And we're certainly looking for, somebody to really step up in terms of face-off percentage, clears, shot blocking, and clearing the front of the net, as I mentioned, those areas.
The glamour would be to be on the power play and the offense and everything like that. How do you find getting players the glamour of the penalty kill? Are there players on the PG Cougars that you're aware of that would rather be on the penalty kill than the power play?
I'm not aware of that, no. I mean, I think everybody recognizes in order to win, you have to kill penalties, and that's what gives you success long-term. It certainly gives you success in the playoffs. I think back to the Boston Bruins, who went all the way to the Stanley Cup final and had the lowest power play percentage, but their penalty kill was number one. I think to Montreal last season, when they went to the finals two seasons ago now, and their penalty kill was number one in the league, and they didn't have a great power play going, but they were able to kill penalties. And those are messages we've shared with our players, and I think that they do understand that this is a really key area for us to be able to win games. And power play, sometimes it's hot and then sometimes it's not, and that's natural for every team. Every team goes through that. But penalty kill has to be consistent. And so in order for players to get more ice time, in order for players to make a bigger contribution, and ultimately in order for our team to win, those are really important roles. And I do feel that the players value those roles.
You work directly with the defensemen. How satisfied are you through eight games? Give us your overall assessment.
Well, I certainly feel that with the seven defensemen that we've rolled out there, and we played seven on Saturday night, their games are all improving. They're all farther ahead than where they were last year in various areas. When I look at like William Kamek, for example, I really have been impressed with his start. And he's a player that played in the World Juniors in the summer and then came here. His game has taken some big, big strides from where it was, even last year in the playoffs till now. It's really come a long way. Trying to focus on 200-foot games from our offensive defensemen, Hudson Thornton, Ethan Sampson, Keith Dahanyuk. I think those games have come a long way. Their games have come a long way as well. And Bauer Dumansky, a player at 16 who kind of got some big opportunities that most 16-year-old defensemen don't necessarily get. Now he's getting more of a regular shift even as a 17-year-old defenseman. So I feel like we're certainly ahead of where we were to finish last season, and the challenge is to always keep getting better. We'd like to always be cleaner moving the puck. We'd like to have fewer turnovers. We'd like to get up in the play more and add to the offense 5-on-5. And obviously, and most importantly, we'd like to do a better job and consistent job keeping the puck out of our net. And so are there areas we could clean up in terms of our rush defense and battling in front of our own goal? Those are areas where we continue to focus on.
And yet you got a couple of 16-year-old defensemen as well, McNutt, Bukowski coming along. As a matter of fact, I think McNutt scored your first goal of the season. So you are bringing some young 16-year-olds along as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, with McNutt, he's 17, and he's really had a good start as well and grown his game. Bukowski, at 16, he's going to get an opportunity to play in the under-17s, which is outstanding for him. We're really, really excited for that opportunity. And it's always tough to be a 16-year-old defenseman in major junior. There's no question about it. But so far, he showed some composure, some poise. I think both him and McNutt had excellent preseasons, excellent training camps. And they both, earned their way onto this team. And with that, earned an opportunity to contribute. And certainly for McNutt especially, he's played in virtually every game and contributed in every game for us and been a big part of our 60 that we've rolled out on most nights.
Now, Samson, one of your 19-year-olds, it was the players that voted for who was going to be captain, and apparently it was unanimous. As a coach, I imagine you were not surprised that it was overwhelmingly going to be number four?
No, not surprised, but at the same time, pleasantly impressed that when the coaching staff and the players are all on the same page, it's just an added bonus, and certainly that was the case. And very, very happy for Ethan. He's a tremendous person. He's a heck of a hockey player and someone, that we all hold in high regard. And to be voted unanimously shows that he's got the respect of his teammates and well-deserving of being a captain, and just couldn't be happier for him.
Another 19-year-old that's going to obviously get a lot of minutes and has is Thornton. You talked about him a little bit. He loves to rush. He loves to go three-wheel. Because of his style, sometimes he will get caught up the other way, although he hustles back as much as he can. How much do you just let him go and say, you know what, Hudson, you're going to make the odd mistake because you got to take chances? If you have that fourth man into the attack and he's often that guy that jumps in, sometimes it may cost you 2-on-1, 3-on-2 the other way. What's your view? How do you tell him? Can he just go, or are there some restrictions?
Well, I think it's learning to pick his spots. And you know what? In every game, he's going to have offensive opportunities, whether it's on the power play, whether it just naturally develops off the roster in the offensive zone. And he's starting to recognize that you know, on a consistent night-by-night basis, he's creating 6, 7, 8 scoring chances, or involved in 6, 7, 8 scoring chances. The other side of it is how responsible is he defensively to not have to give up 6, 7, 8 scoring chances in order to create those. And so that's where we really try to focus with his game in terms of being able to still provide offense and pick his spots offensively, but be sound defensively. And when offensive opportunities aren't there, then make the mature right decision. Maybe it's just move the puck. Maybe it's give it to your partner. Maybe it's just get the line and get it in. Those sorts of things. So that's, you know, kind of a continued maturation process where he still can provide offense, but can be even more effective as a 200-foot defender.
You're listening to CatScan, brought to you by Integris. Local speaks louder than words. We are speaking with Josh Dixon, associate coach with the PG Cougars. There have been a couple of games recently where the team has struggled to score goals early on. Now, you were finding the net. Now, I know when we think about, you know, scoring goals, we obviously think of the forwards and everything like that, but when you find that there's a hot goaltender like who you ran into when you played to Brandon and you had the territorial chances, you had the 40 shots, but things weren't going in other than a terrific shot off the wing from McAdams, do you encourage the defense to try and be more offensive in those games to help out, or are you just trying to say, you got to play it like every other game?
Well, you know, it can be tricky because sometimes you can get trapped. A game like the Brandon game where we're creating all kinds of chances, totally out chancing, and we had a couple of backdoor tap and empty nets that we just weren't able to put in. You don't want to throw the whole kitchen sink at the opponent, and then all of a sudden they hang around and they get a break and they score, which was sort of what had happened. It got a nice little bounce. It hit two shin pads, and then they put it underneath the bar. You want to pick those spots when they're there. You want to be involved in the rush and up in the play. You want to hold pucks in the offensive zone, get point shots through, be an option, whether it's at the blue line or sliding down for a scissor play. All of those things need to be there. And certainly as the game goes along, you start to play the offensive defenseman a little bit more as you need those goals. But it's still important that we have our right habits and that we play the game properly defensively, and we don't get tricked into trading one grade A chance for another grade A chance against, where if we're dominating the play and we're playing the right way and we're getting chances, we stick with it and we don't abandon our system and our style of play to just try to score goals.
How often are you preaching the mental side of the game? What is obviously going to be very important this season and try to learn in the past is that sometimes losing streaks in the past have turned into lengthy losing streaks. And, you know, good teams that want to at least be upper middle, they're going to lose games. You know, you can lose a couple in a row. I know there's been a recent, you know, the 3-game losing streak, but it's important not to let it get to 5, 6, 7, 8. You talk about that mental aspect and those things quite a bit.
Absolutely. And I think it's a combination of being able to be focused on the moment, being able to learn from the past and then reset and take steps forward, as well as to be able to stay positive and to embrace challenge and be able to embrace adversity. And so those are all elements that are key to winning. And you know, we still have a young group that's learning how to win on a consistent basis, and learning how to deal with that from a mental perspective is very, very important. You know, sometimes, especially when you have players in their draft year and you have players who have high individual expectations on themselves, adversity can be seen as something very negative and something that's difficult to overcome. But having the right mindset and the right mental skills, whether it's positive self-talk, visualization, resetting and refocusing strategies, those things all help to deal with adversity and flip adversity into a positive that forces you to dig deeper and bring out a better performance that you thought you were capable of. And so those are all both individual conversations that are had and conversations that we have with the group to allow us to continue to learn how to win, learn how to be consistent winners, and learn how to be consistent performers.
Can you take us into a one-on-one situation? So when you're going to speak with one of the defensemen, you don't have to throw out any names or anything like that, but you know, sort of try to take an example and let us know in this podcast format exactly what you were going to say without telling us who the player is, but maybe something that you've had conversations with and say, okay, you know, you're not doing this or you are doing that. We need to do more. So, you know, or how, you know, are you feeling well? Like, what are those one-on-one conversations like?
Well, first and foremost, it's about, you know, as a coach, doing your homework and being prepared, whether it's with stats, video, other conversation pieces, whatever it might be, in order to have a real effective meeting. And then I think it's so important that there's a relationship that exists where you can open up the floor to the players first and find out how are they doing, how are things in their personal life, how are things in their mental life, how are they feeling about where they're at, and give them an opportunity to voice whatever might be going on so that you can kind of find some common ground. Nothing worse than a coach bringing a player in and you know, giving him heck for or grief for the way he's playing and find out, well, there's actually something really big that's going on in his life that's maybe, you know, impacting his performance or inhibiting him from being able to play to his top level. So that's the first thing. And then having some discussion and being able to be open and honest with the player. I see this as an area where you can improve upon, or I see this as something we could add, or here's some habits we could really focus on from a consistency perspective that'll make you more impactful out there, or clean up your game, or make it easier to play, whatever it might be. And then there's dialogue. It's you know, there's always suggestions, and there's firm coaching at times when, hey, I need you to do this, or I need more from you in certain areas. But at the same point, where there's some dialogue in terms of what are they seeing on the ice? They're the ones playing the game. How do they feel about these suggestions? How do they feel about where they can incorporate certain elements into their game? And how can we work together to make sure they're the best player they can be? Because that's, at the end of the day, what we're trying to do. You know, we're trying to work with them to make them the best player and work with the team to make the team the best team we can be.
When speaking with a defenseman, do they ever say something that catches you off guard or say, oh, I didn't realize that, or, oh, okay, so you are dealing with that, or, oh, I see a particular situation that you're bringing up that, you know, I never thought. Does that come up very much?
Yeah, for sure. There's times when, especially in game, when, you know, I might be watching something very, very closely specifically, and they might have had a different perspective in terms of, hey, I thought you could have moved the puck here. Yeah, but you know what? This guy was open or wasn't open. I didn't feel I had support, or I felt like they were taking this away. And so that's where you have to have their perspective. There's times, absolutely, where it's, hey, hard and fast. Hey, the puck should have got in, or the puck should have got to the net. And, you know, maybe there's less discussion at that point. But at the same time, you know, things that they see on the ice that they're picking up on that we can then, okay, let's work with that then. And how can we improve upon that? Especially, you know, like exchanges with the goaltender, for example, when the puck comes back, and okay, what are you yelling at the goalie? What were you telling him to move the puck? And did you recognize that the forechecker was actually down the boards? He wasn't in the middle of the ice. Those sorts of things. You know, you always are trying to get their perspective on it, and then make the right read accordingly.
Do you ever have to ever act as a moderator or a referee if things get a little bit heated among teammates, or that doesn't come up very often?
I think it happens. It's good. I think there's good adversity and good discussion that can come from conflict, especially during practices, right? When you're trying to push players, you're trying to, you know, we have competitive practices where we keep score and one team wins, one team loses, and the losing team, they might have to, you know, skate some laps or whatever. There's some sort of, you know, consequence or prize on the line, and the players get to that high competitiveness, which is excellent to see. And so I think that's a positive thing, and I think it, you know, forces us to practice at the highest level we can. So those sort of things are good. We have a good group. It's not something where players, you know, are turning on each other. I don't worry about, there's no moderating there. There's nothing with that. It's more, you know, you want to try to get the most out of players in practice. And when that happens, I think it's really positive. And it just shows that our group is competitive and they want to be the best they can be.
With my interactions with you, Josh, you come across as a very positive person, somebody that is very upbeat. You're always looking forward rather than behind. But what would tick you off? What would happen during a game that, you know, all of a sudden that persona would change?
Well, I appreciate the kind words. Thank you. I certainly try to be those things as a coach, positive, looking forward, and encouraging. And especially, you know, as an associate coach, it's different than the head coach, you know, in that role. So I want to make sure that I'm consistent that way with the players. I think for me, I mean, the biggest things are always compete level, work ethic. You know, they're going to have, it's a game of mistakes. Players, especially in junior hockey, are going to make execution mistakes, and you have to live with that as a coach sometimes. Is the intent in the right spot? Are we trying to do the things we've talked about doing? Are we trying to execute the game plan the way we've drawn it up and the way we planned prior to the game? And are we doing that with everything we've got? For me, it always comes back to compete and work ethic. That's kind of, you know, for me, that has to be there. And if that's not there, that's where I certainly get frustrated sometimes. But I feel like we have a competitive group. I feel like we do work hard. I feel like we practice hard on a consistent basis. And so the rest of it then is encouraging, you know, maybe better execution and more consistent execution. And that's always the challenge in junior hockey.
Has that always been the way you have been? Your playing career got cut short, everything like that. You got into coaching at a young age. Have you always been like that, or did you have to sort of change maybe with the times? Sort of give us a little bit of background as to whether you were very, very aggressive, or whether you've now realized that to be an effective coach, you have to be as positive as possible.
Well, I've certainly always been a positive person. I've always been a pretty competitive and fiery person as well, and I was that way when I played. You know, without question, my experience working for CAA, for the agency, and working on the player side really gave me a unique perspective. And I was fortunate to work with some very, very high-end players. We had 8 first-round draft picks my first year with the agency, including Austin Matthews, who went first overall. So it was a really interesting experience to go through and to watch a game, watch a player, and then talk with them after the game and get to hear firsthand about their interactions with their coaches. And so I think it gave me some, like I say, perspective and some reminders that I try to continue to stick with in terms of, you know, how relationships need to be with players and how you need to continue to, especially when you're not the head coach, especially when you're trying to, you know, be a supportive assistant or associate coach. I think it's important to be positive. It's important to be the open door type of mentality with the players to be able to build relationships with them. And as I say, I think the agency experience really furthered my coaching and my realization of those aspects that need to be there when you're coaching junior hockey.
Now, all of the players, it doesn't matter if they are your top or your bottom or your middle, most of them have that huge goal, ultimately the NHL. That's everybody's goal. That's your goal as a coach, to get there and everything like that. When a player has that goal, but you realize they're not going to have that talent to match, are you ever realistic with a player and say, you know, for you to be effective, you have to be more of a role player? Or do you never want to take that dream away from somebody?
Yeah, you never want to take that dream away, and you never want to tell anybody, hey, listen, like, maybe that's not going to happen for you. Because, you know what, there's lots of stories, and you see Montreal has a defenseman right now in the NHL who wasn't drafted in the Ontario League, wasn't drafted in the NHL, and is playing in the NHL. So, you know, I think it's more of giving them opportunity or giving them feedback and instructions that help them be the most effective player they can be, and that would be most transferable to being a pro. You know, we talked about penalty killing. Hey, listen, I think this is something that if you really can hone in on and be effective at, what would be, you know, able to open up opportunities for you in the pros. If you can block shots, you can finish checks, you can be hard to play against. Maybe it's you can move pucks as a defenseman and be strong defensively. You know, that's going to give you opportunities to be most effective at the next level. Those are the kind of conversations you want to have. And I love players that have dreams that want to get to the NHL and they want to find a way. And, you know, I think with a lot of players, if that's what they want to do and that's what they want to accomplish, then I'm all on board with trying to do everything I can to help them accomplish those dreams.
Yeah, and I know you're only in the second year with the team, and I've watched the team for all these years, and I always think in what you're talking about, I think of Blair Betts, because when he, mm-hmm. you know, when he played and I watched him as a Cougar, he was an offensive player, he was a scorer, he got big goals, but to make the NHL, and he did for 10, 11, 12 years, he had to be an effective penalty killer. He had to do the dirty work and all those kinds of things. You look at those kind of examples and try to, I mean, not specifically Blair Betts who did that, But do you look at examples and try to demonstrate that to players that this is how you can be, you know, as effective, even though it may not be the glamour?
For sure. We always try to look for comparables in the NHL, and it's not your favorite player in the NHL. You know, we sit down with all the defensemen and we go through who their comparable players would be, who's somebody that has a similar skill set, size, and shoots the way that they shoot, and, you know, that maybe has something we can take from in terms of their habits or style of play to help get them that next step closer to being an NHL player. So that to me is really, really important for players to recognize. And a lot of it comes down to commitment, dedication, discipline, work ethic, and then how committed are they to their craft. And you know, specifically, maybe it is, like you said, a Blair Batson finding a role as a penalty killer, finding a role as somebody that's hard to play against without the puck, and that's what's going to open up opportunities to play in the NHL. So those are conversations that we have lots of. And, you know, I always think it's really mature of players when they pick a player that maybe isn't the highest profile, Sidney Crosby, Connor McDavid, but they recognize, hey, this is somebody that I want to try to, you know, mirror my game after and aspire to get to where they're at.
All right, I have to let you run to practice, and I appreciate it. Just before I let you go, any final comment you want to make to the Prince George Cougars fans? Obviously, we're very early into this season. You know, is there something that you look that you want to create, more hope and all of those kinds of things? What's that message you want to send to the Cougar fans this season?
Well, I mean, I guess, you know, since you're asking, I thought it was excellent Saturday night. We had a great crowd, and we're playing a top team in the CHL, and so that was outstanding. And certainly we all see that, we all feel that, and that support is outstanding. So appreciate, and I know the players do as well, the support, everybody coming out, and what a difference it is to play in a building with great fans, with great support against a great team. And that was a real fun game Saturday night, and I hope that's an experience that people left with where they want to come back and continue to support and cheer us on. And like I say, we really appreciate all of that excitement and energy that was in the building on Saturday night. That was outstanding.
All right, and I appreciate your time. All the best. Take care.
You too, Harley. Thank you.
Josh Dixon is the associate coach for the Prince George Cougars. You've been listening to CatScan, brought to you by Integris. Local speaks louder than words.